You're listening to The Bulletin with UBS, first broadcast on the 3rd of May 2015 on Monocle 24. Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week, we're appraising the progress of technical negotiations with Greece and assessing how the pace and substance of the talks to date are shaping the possibility of a workable solution, of a potential default, or even of a euro exit. We'll explore the risk of pan-European contagion and consider the likely shape of wider policy reaction should a default occur. We start with our various experts' views on the progress so far. We hear first from Paul Donovan, UBS Deputy Head of Global Economics. What's Paul's sense of how the technical negotiations with Greece have fared?
The negotiations on Greece are a little odd. Everybody agrees that Greece needs to have a nominal interest rate that is below its nominal GDP growth rate so it can grow its way out of debt. And absolutely everybody agrees on that point. The question is, how much does the interest rate come down and how much is growth influenced by fiscal stimulus versus by reform? And that's where you're getting these sticking points. So we've got the goal is firmly agreed. The details, of course, are causing these ongoing problems. I think we are making progress. I think that the Greek side has shown a willingness to compromise, and I think that there is agreement on the non-Greek side that allowing Greece to exit from the euro or to default would be very, very bad indeed. So I think there is progress, but I'm afraid to say I think it's going to be quite slow over the course of the next few weeks.
The slowness of the process is also front and centre, according to Vicky Price, Chief Economic Advisor at the Centre for Economics and Business Research in London.
It's been a very slow process and terribly frustrating for anyone looking at it from the outside, and I'm pretty certain for all the participants in it too. I think the Greeks have not necessarily used the best sort of language when they were approaching the Europeans and the IMF. But nevertheless, they have compromised hugely since the election of Syriza, the left-wing party, which is now running a coalition with the smaller right-wing independent Greeks. They have basically given up quite a lot of the pre-election pledges that they had made, which included all sorts of things, such as rehiring everyone who had been sacked from the public sector. None of that had happened. Raising the minimum wage back to where it was before the crisis hit, which hasn't happened, and also renationalize everything that had been privatized, which hasn't happened either. And they've accepted all sorts of extra things that the Europeans were asking, such as increasing VAT again and a number of other tax measures, and basically have gone back on quite a lot of what they promised the Greek people. And so far, without it having huge repercussions in Greece, except their own left-wing element in the party, which is sort of quite hardcore communist, and the popularity has remained reasonably high. What we haven't seen is very much compromise from the other side.
Here's Thomas Vacker, head of credit at the CIO at UBS Wealth Management.
One element is clearly the pace. So it was expected to accelerate much faster after the 20 February agreement, but then a lot of time has been wasted on small details. And there are a few key elements of these negotiations where there wasn't really any progress, circling around pension and labour market reforms, which has been defined as red lines by the Greek government. And that's also the key areas where we're stuck at this point in time.
So in light of these shifting dynamics, what's the probability of a default, or potentially even an exit? Themis Themistocleous is head of the European Investment Office at UBS Wealth Management. How does he read the situation?
Every day that passes is a day that Greece might be getting closer to a default, because obviously if there is no solution, there's not going to be a disbursement of funds. And we do know Greece has to make a payment in May and then substantial payments in June and July. So they've got to have an agreement in place before these substantial payments become due. We think the probability of a default is more than 50%. And for the probability of an exit, it's clearly less than 50%, most probably 1 in 4. And we do think that if Greece ends up defaulting, that most probably focuses their mind as well and most probably accelerate the process as well.
So as far as Themis is concerned, a default would focus minds on achieving a solution. But what about the broad European policy reaction? What are some of the wider risks? Here's Thomas Vacker again.
First of all, I think if it were to happen, then we would see significant contagion effects. Obviously, the uncertainty attached to something like this happening is huge. A lot of investors would rather go on the very cautious side. We would see significant pressure on other peripheral countries, both on the bond side but also in equity markets, on weaker financial institutions. That would be the typical victims of contagion. So I think these effects would be very substantial. Now, if we look at the response, I think the key source of response is the ECB. So the most straightforward thing that the ECB can do is to upsize its already running QE program, so to simply buy even more government bonds, in particular of the weaker countries. There could be more relaxation also in order to make sure that the banking sector gets all the liquidity it needs in this situation. So this is the key reaction from the ECB. And then on the political side, I think the first thing that they can provide in such a case would be more commitments and statements on their intention. But it would be very hard on the political side to deliver tangible steps, for example, for further integration of the Eurozone, further cross-support within the Eurozone. That's something that they would take much more time, and I think it would also take a significant market pressure before these steps would be considered, in particular by the stronger northern countries.
Diego Valiente is head of financial market research at the Centre for European Policy Studies in Brussels. What's his assessment of the European policy reaction?
The reaction would be certainly disordered because, of course, the ECB should not have the political power to kick one country out of the Eurozone. So the decision will go back to the ECB to essentially renew the ELA and to find a way to keep the Greek financial system alive. So I doubt that the ECB will take that decision, because that will be really the end of the Eurozone membership for Greece, and will be essentially political. And from the political standpoint, at the moment there is no legal procedure for the exit of any country from the Eurozone. EU institutions will fight this until the end, because that would create a precedent that you will have to deal with in the future if other countries will be in the same situation. So it's going to be very political, but legally very difficult to implement the exit of Greece from the Eurozone.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look ahead to some crucial imminent deadlines and consider whether Greece will meet them in order to secure a vital follow-up arrangement. So will the June deadline for a follow-up agreement be met? And if not, where does culpability rest? Paul Donovan takes up the story.
I think that we should get a deal before the end of June. There is somewhat more optimism about a deal by mid-May. I think that may be too optimistic, but I think certainly by the end of June we should be getting a deal. And in that event, I think that we would need to see a comprehensive deal which, as I said, reduces the interest rate below the growth rate and allows Greece to progress. In the event that a deal fails, where does culpability lie? Well, that's a very, very difficult question to answer. There are faults on both sides, essentially. One of the great problems of modern economics, which really comes through from the Bretton Woods system, perhaps even from the gold standard onwards, is that there is a bias in a lot of economic structures which says if you are a surplus country, you don't have to correct, and if you're a deficit country, you do have to correct. And that applies to current accounts, and it often applies to fiscal policy as well. What we have at the moment is a very unbalanced system where, frankly, Germany has a standard of living today that is way below what it should be, because it's running a very, very large current account surplus. Now, that is an imbalance, and in economic terms, it's as serious an imbalance as the Greek deficit is. But of course, there's no pressure on Germany to correct, because the markets don't apply pressure when you have a surplus. They only apply pressure when you have a deficit. So in many regards, the situation is as much a German crisis as a Greek crisis. On the other hand, although Greece has been through an enormous amount and the economy has suffered more than, say, the US economy did in the 1930s, at the same time, there are still considerable inefficiencies in the Greek economy, and that is a cause of considerable angst from those elsewhere in Europe. So it's one of those unfortunate situations where there are really faults on both sides.
Vicky Price certainly perceives something of an imbalance in the relationship.
We're in a period where there is a review of what the Greeks are putting forward as proposals for fiscal consolidation, sort of looking at 2015 and beyond. What the Greeks have proposed so far has not satisfied them yet. So the period of review is until June. So the Greeks got a four-month extension from the end of February. And that's a very crucial period, and it's a period during which the Greeks are rather will be worried and are already worried about being able to keep going, particularly the liquidity for their banking system, which is entirely dependent now on funding from the European Central Bank under something called the Emergency Lending Assistance. So if that were to in any way be cut off, then Greece would be in serious difficulty. For the moment, there doesn't seem to be any sign of that happening, even though there is pressure on the banks not to buy sovereign debt and pressure on the banks not to buy treasury bills from the European Central Bank because it doesn't recognize those as being sufficient collateral. So there is a bit of a problem there. But nevertheless, they can keep going. And the real question would be whether the Greeks continue to move lots of money out of the country or out of the deposits because they're worried about a possible Grexit. But the second important issue is that at present, Greece is not part of the massive quantitative easing that's taking place from the European Central Bank, which is spending $60 billion a month buying bonds in the secondary market across Europe. Now, Greece could benefit if it was in it, but because its sovereign debt is sort of junk bond status, it doesn't qualify. But if it's in a program, which it is, it should qualify. But if it's under review, it doesn't again. So the sooner we get this review period, you identified as a crucial time, out of the way, and the Greek proposals are accepted, the better it will be in terms of getting things normalized in Greece, and that will, if you like, stave off the chances of any default at all.
Now, one critical consideration in all of this is the risk of bank deposit flight elsewhere in Europe, depending on what happens in Greece. Paul Donovan expands on this theme of potential contagion that has been identified by a number of our experts.
The thing is about monetary union breakups, and we don't get them very often, but if we go back over the last 100 years, there have been a number of monetary union breakups. When they happen, the contagion is not via the bond market. The contagion is not via politics. The contagion is always via the banking system. Because in Europe today, a euro held as cash today is a euro tomorrow. But a euro held in a bank account today could be anything tomorrow. It could be a new national currency tomorrow. And so if you start to see countries leaving a monetary union and bank deposits being forcibly converted into new national currencies, then that fear starts to spread through other countries. And we saw this throughout the 20th century. We saw deposit flight, for example, in Quebec around the time of the Quebec referendum on independence in 1995, where money deposited in Quebec fell. Money deposited in other parts of Canada actually rose as deposits moved out. We even have a lot of anecdotal reports of this in the UK in September of 2014, with the government reporting that there was the threat of deposit movement out of Scottish domiciled accounts and into English accounts over uncertainty about the survival of the UK monetary union were Scotland to go independent. So you do run this risk. And if we see deposit flight from a country outside of Greece in the response to Greek exit from the euro, were that to happen, then that would very quickly spread, in my opinion, and create a significant risk of a further fracturing of the monetary union. Now, this is one reason why I think Greece does not leave the euro. The consequences and the ability to control the consequences of significant deposit flight are very, very dangerous. And so I believe that every effort is going to be made to come up with a solution.
Paul Donovan there. Before the end of this week's show, we're going to take a closer look at the domestic political landscape of Greece. What are some of the definitive issues shaping this, and how mindful must all of our expert analysts be of these nuances? Thomas Vacca explains why these considerations are critical for him and his colleagues.
I think monitoring the developments is very important, but it's obviously just one side of the story. So I think it's very important for us to monitor what the ECB, what the Eurogroup thinks, how the IMF acts in these negotiations, but also the position of the Greek side is important because we think the other party, the creditors side, won't move a lot from where they are today. So the move, the change has to come from the Greek side. So obviously any of these reshuffles that we've just seen to the negotiation team, that can be important, but we think the reshuffle as of yet isn't really significant because Varoufakis is still involved, he's still leading the negotiations, and that probably won't yet be the catalyst for finding an agreement. But yeah, obviously monitoring Greek media and all these domestic discussions, it's a key element of staying ahead of this situation.
Diego Valiente expands on the complexities of the political challenge that faces Alexis Tsipras.
Tsipras has a really difficult situation internally because of the alliances that he has been making with the extreme parties and, of course, with the extreme part of his own party, which is quite radical on the positions within the negotiation. Even though I think there is still support for the Eurozone membership, there is not much support for any light compromise on what the conditions should be of the renegotiation. So that would be very difficult to handle internally. And on the other end, the structural reforms are not progressing. The primary surplus is not really primary surplus, apparently. So there is also risk that if Greece is going to default, doesn't have enough money on its own to keep the machinery run. And so that's going to be quite difficult. So I assume that Greece at a certain point will have to give in terms of conditions for the renegotiation, but the impact internally for his own party and for the alliance that Tsipras worked on is going to be quite difficult to handle. So it's really a situation of uncertainty, political uncertainty.
Themis Themistocleus, meanwhile, has an intriguing view on the potential impact of a referendum. Should that be the endgame for Syriza in Greece?
The problem they have currently, remember that Syriza was a movement before it became a party and then eventually a government. So even within Syriza party, there's different opinions and different views of what the outcome should be. And they don't have a majority. There's a coalition government. So it's a lot more difficult to carry all of that total political part spectrum within the party over the line to deliver a plan that is most probably going to be a difficult plan to sell to the population. So it is possible that a referendum actually can be quite a positive development as long as they can do it quickly and in time before time runs out.
And that's Themis Themistocleus, bringing us to the end of this 30th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via iTunes or SoundCloud. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.